When the perishable had been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the glory, the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is in the Lord and is not in vain.
Children are dismissed to children's church this time. So as we get started today, maybe first I just want to acknowledge a welcome. We got a few guests here today and lots of dressed up people from IMS's banquet from Mid Prairie prom. So welcome and thanks for making the commitment to be here after a long night. And I was going to say I'm going to promise to not put you to sleep today. So that might be a little bit on you guys, though, okay? Let's stick with it. All right. I am thankful that you're all here today and just acknowledge it's cool to see a group come after a long night. So there is a question up there, and maybe I'll just ask you, is there something wrong with that? Does it just really bug you guys that it's in the bulletin like that? If you open up your bulletin to the sermon title, it says, would you like desert now or later? It just isn't spelled right, is it? In fact, I think it might be on the CD that we make. We make CDs and DVDs of the service, and it might even be written wrong on there because someone was bugged that it was not spelled correctly. And anyway, that's the way things go. Would you like dessert now or later? I was trying to think of some catchy title because what I really want to talk about today is we've experienced Easter. We experienced Rocky's baptism, some baptisms lately, it seems like, and Jesus is risen from the grave, and we have an amazing, amazing promise. We have an amazing gift in that. And for some reason, I feel like we don't actually enter the promised land like we have been given through eternal life in Jesus. We don't live that here. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we've made that claim, but for some reason, we live in the desert and not enjoying dessert. Maybe that's a weird way to say it, but Jesus came to give us abundant life. He came to give us dessert every single day, and I love dessert. But for some reason, a lot of us live in the desert all the time. And speaking of dessert, I'll just throw this out there. Sometimes people like to give dessert. I'm in the mindset that the only good cookie is a cookie with chocolate chips in it. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me there, but there's no other cookie. They're just all not good unless they have chocolate chips in them. So I had some amazing chocolate chip cookies on Wednesday night, Michelle made for MYF, and there used to be a joke. I know Jason Winmer would say this. They used to try to count how many chocolate chip cookies I would eat when we went to people's houses because I really enjoyed chocolate chip cookies. I enjoy dessert. My wife, the other dessert, she makes an apple pie. That's amazing. And we get apples from my in-laws, her parents. And She told me as long as I tell her each time she makes an apple pie that it's the best apple pie I've ever had, she will keep making them. So I make sure to tell her every time it is the best apple pie. And I think they always are. They're amazing. So I'm expecting an apple pie pretty soon. Anyway, dessert. Much better than being in the desert, right? So that's what I want to look at. I'm going to have to fly through this, but I want to skim just some of the story of the Israelites leaving slavery and then finally entering the promised land. And just look at a few of the things that I think keep them from enjoying dessert and just being stuck in the desert. So there's a picture that's going to be up here. I know it's really small, but you might see a path, and this is one of the possible routes. It's kind of the most accepted route that the Israelites took out of slavery. So they were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves. And finally, God sends Moses. And after the 10 plagues, the Passover lamb, all this is taking place, they are let go. And you can hardly even see land on that picture. You can see a little better over there. But you can kind of see the route. And so they cross the Red Sea. And then they're in the Sinai Peninsula. They're in the desert for 40 years, right? And there's kind of a little part where they're wandering around there. And Canaan is up to the northeast there. You see they kind of eventually come in the back way. And obviously in our mind, it would have been a lot easier to just take a straight path and just get right there. But they are in the desert for 40 years. And so we're just going to look at a few of these stories and look at what they were doing while they were in the desert. And the question is, that we're going to look at is, are you experiencing desert or are you experiencing dessert? Are you experiencing the desert or are you experiencing life, abundant life in the promised land? Because that is what God desires for each and every one of you. So, a few things that happened. First one, I'm going to look at some of the things I see. So that next slide pretty soon will be looking at discontentment. And I'd also put on there holding on to our old life. So if you have Bibles, you can try to move along. They're not going to be up on the screen, but there's going to be a few of these scriptures. I want to look at Exodus 16. There it is. And I think as I read these scriptures, I really want you to just look at, is this the attitude that I have? Or is this, am I trusting and obeying God? Am I loving Him? Or am I stuck in the desert? Okay, so Exodus 16. Again, I'm going to skim through these, but chapter 16, verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." And I'm going to skip ahead. There's more to that story there, but Numbers chapter 11. It says in verse 4, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. Remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Verse 13, they keep wailing to me, "Give us meat to eat." And we could look at more of that. And again, if you want to write these down, you can dive into these this story throughout the day. How many of you guys are whining about something in your life? How many of you are discontent? And whether that is discontent about the weather, discontent about your bank account, discontent about your phone. I have a phone right now that the audio is not working right, and it's so frustrating, and it's like, I just want a new phone. I'm discontent with this. Here's what I've noticed, is that everything I'm discontent with is earthly things. Everything I'm discontent with is earthly things. And I'm not talking about sickness, I'm not talking about challenges we have, but earthly things that we are just discontent with. My wife told me the other day that she didn't marry a grumpy old man. And I replied to her, nothing, because she was totally right. And I was trying to say, why am I grumpy? Why have I been really grumpy? And it's because of earthly things. It's all the stuff that I feel like I need to get done, I need to do, because I'm busy and I want to improve this or do this. We have a little pasture at our house, so I've been working on fixing the fence so we can have some animals in there, and I've been grumpy because I'm not getting it all done. These are the things that we can get grumpy about, right? Discontent. And so they whine, even though God provides them with food. They whine because it's not that good, and God provided, though. And I also put holding on to their old life, and there's time after time that you can look through these stories. It's this one or others that we'll look at, and they continue to say, why don't we just go back to Egypt? It was better off there. Like, really? And how many of us come to a point that we accept Jesus and then we say, at times, I want to hold on to that old life? And whether that those are sins of the flesh, whether it is drinking, partying, whether it is temptations that we had in the past, some of those we have overcome. God has done some stuff to restore our lives, and we've overcome those things, but we want to go back. And some of us go back, and some of us want to just go back to Egypt into slavery. And so instead of being in the promised land, we're stuck in the desert. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Can we just claim that we are a new creation? The old is gone, and we're going to claim the new each and every day. All right, Exodus 19 and 20. I'm not going to dive into the whole Ten Commandments, but I think this is another way that we often can live in the desert too much. And I'll bluntly say that we can become so focused on the duty of being a Christian that we just forget about loving God. We get so focused on all the duties that we have to do. We got to do our devotions. We have to pray each time, pray before every meal. We got to pray at night. We got to make sure that we're doing this, 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 this. And so none of those things are bad. Make sure that I'm clear on that. But we can become so focused on obeying the law, on obeying being a Christian, that we lose sight of Jesus. Chapter 19, before God gives them the Ten Commandments, he says this. He says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. He says that before he gives those Ten Commandments. Our priority needs to be on loving God, loving Jesus. There's so much we could get into there. All the laws that are made after the Ten Commandments, because we had to do all these things to stay clean, to make sure that we are following God, because we have to make sure that we're not in sin. But Jesus did it all. Jesus paid the price for each and every one of us for our sins. Put on Jesus' yoke. Because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. There's a ton there. Let's go to the next one. Fear. I think we spend a lot of time in the desert because of fear. Numbers 13. I'll read a little bit of this into 14. So they're getting closer to heading to the promised land. And this is where they make a big detour. And after the fact, this is where God says that none of your people are going to, none of this generation is going to make it there. God says this, or the Word of God in Numbers says this. It says in verse 27 of chapter 13, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. That's what we want. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So first the spies are talking, now Caleb is saying, we can do this. But the men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. And he says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. And the people in chapter 14, they say, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Fear. How many of you struggle in just trusting God? How many of you live in fear all the time? How many of you came today lacking trust? I love the question that Lindsay asked. The burdens are great, and I want to acknowledge that this world is not easy. Life is not easy. And Jesus promised us life would not be easy. But are you living your life in fear? Or are you trusting God? Next one is idols. Numbers 14 should not be up there, but Exodus 32. I think I'm going to pretty much skip the whole story here, but they make a golden calf to worship because Moses was so long coming down from the mountain. How many of you still have idols in your life? You're living in the desert and not in the abundant life that God wants for you because you have idols. So there's a list of things, and there's more things that come out of this story that I think are so applicable to us. But I want to get a little bit past that and get to the good part. Joshua finally brings the people out of that land between, out of the desert and into the promised land. And Joshua 1, 7 through 9, this is going to be up on the screen, and this has always been one of those verses, these verses I love. I'm going to start at verse 6, actually. It says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I was trying to figure out how I was going to end this message and how I was going to get to where I wanted to get. And that first scripture that Lindsay read talked about victory. And then I was trying to find all these scriptures that would fit it in. And like, I could never find one. It's like, I know where I wanted to go, but I couldn't do it. And I think sometimes when we're up here, we can force some things and not just rely on God and the Holy Spirit. And maybe just a simple thing, and it'll come up there. Enjoying dessert now is just Jesus. It is Jesus. And I'm going to give you more than just that, but it is Jesus first. So I think God says to us, will you trust me when there's an army about to attack you and take you back into slavery? Will you trust me as you walk through the parted sea? Will you trust me when you have limited water supply? Will you trust me when food is short? Will you trust me when you grow tired of the food I supply? Will you trust me when there are big enemies ahead? Will you trust me? And the only one that we can trust is Jesus. The only one that we can trust is Jesus. It's God in flesh. Jesus. Still don't know how we're going to end this. Jesus brings abundant life. Jesus brings eternal life. I have so many scriptures here that were supposed to be ending scriptures. I brought this along because, Rocky, you don't know your testimony, how much it touched people, I think, last Sunday. How many of us have claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we want to live this abundant life, but how many of us are just stuck in pain in the desert? And we shouldn't be there. That's not what God wanted for us. He wants us to be enjoying dessert. He wants us to be enjoying abundant life. And so, Rocky, this is what you did, and I've heard several people make comments about it. You got to ask the question right away. Some of you know what I'm going to ask. It's, do you renounce the evil powers of this world and turn to Jesus as your Savior? Do you put your trust in His grace and love and promise to obey Him as your Lord? Do you guys know what Rocky's response was?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How many of us respond to that, those questions, each and every day with absolutely? So maybe that's how we need to finish this up. I'm going to ask this question to everybody here, and these questions, and I guess you can respond however you'd like, but I'm going to ask you to respond with absolutely, just like Rocky and his testimony. And the question is, each and every day when we're struggling, when Satan is attacking, how are we going to respond to the claims of Jesus? Are we going to live in fear or focusing on idols or discontentment? Or are we going to say, absolutely, Jesus, this is you that I want. You are the cornerstone. You are the only one that can get me through this mess. You are all. So, here's your question. If you want to really enjoy dessert, first thing in the morning, whenever you get a chance, to the people at LDC, do you renounce the evil powers of this world and turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your trust in His grace and love and promise to obey Him as your Lord?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let me pray. Lord God, I know there's people here today that haven't accepted You as Lord, and they're stuck in slavery. I want to pray for them right now that You will open up their hearts, that they will be convicted right now, that they will acknowledge that they are broken, that they need You, that there's nothing that they can do that can bring them to You, but it's what You did, God, by sending Your perfect Son down to earth to die for us, to die for me. That's what I need. That's what we need. So I just pray for softened hearts for those that are still in slavery, and that they will accept this free gift that You've given us. And for those here that are in this land between the Red Sea and the Jordan River, between the Red Sea and Canaan, this desert, I pray that they can trust You, that they will fall in love with Your truth, that they will fall in love with the red letters of Jesus, but most of all, that they will fall in love with You, Jesus, each and every day, that they will call on Your name. And God, for those here that are living in that abundant life, I pray that we can be a city on a hill, that we can invite others into that. Because God, it's the greatest feeling when we're walking closely with You. God, we thank You for today. As we go forward, may we enjoy our dessert now. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.